Blog Talk Radio.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
All right, everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. Oh. Not much going on in the news in the last week or so. Just more of the same. You know, I felt kind of compelled to play that song, that one line in there about things that are done in the dark will be brought to the light. And I know it's difficult at times. We get caught up in the theater of what transpires every day out of Washington, D.C., and we're hit with a myriad of information. You remember I talked about my wife and I and our trip to Washington, D.C., and on the way home, I was chuckling that all of the stations, whether it was the left-wing, progressive, liberal talk radio, or the right-wing conservative talk radio, they all played the exact same commercials. And you know, when we look at it, if you really break it down, depending on who sits in the Oval Office depends on what portion of the populace likes or dislikes what the government is doing. But if we really take an honest-to-God look at what they're doing, if we strip away the commercials like Obamacare, Medicare, Social Security, and all the other garbage, little jingles that they coin and sell and play these commercials for, if we strip away all the nonsense and get down to brass tacks, what has really changed in substance? I would say not much of anything. The one thing that does seem to change is the number of ways, the various avenues that are created out of the swamp to suck money out of your wallet, to steal another dollar from the pocket of those men and women out there who have the terminal brain damage or the cognitive dissonance, the Stockholm syndrome, if you will, to continue getting up every day, going out and working, so that they can be plundered. And we hear these terms about corporate welfare. I always laugh about that. When I hear corporate welfare, most folks are talking about giving tax breaks to corporations, which I think is kind of funny. I don't find it funny that they're getting tax breaks, but I find it funny that people see that as corporate welfare, the true corporate welfare. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, that goes into the law books. It goes into laws like the Affordable Care Act, where you take an entire industry and you create for them a ready client base, one that has no recourse but to buy their product. And then you divide that up amongst the several states and you position a few companies per state that are able to provide their product, tongue in cheek, if we can actually call it a product. For all intents and purposes, the insurance company does little more than act as an extortionist between yourself and the doctor. The only problem is they don't seem to have your best interest at heart. They, in fact, drive up the cost of medical care. But don't you worry, because they're going to pay 80% of your bill. And you're just going to pay the 20% that the doctor would have gotten as 100% if that insurance company didn't exist. But I don't want to digress too far into the microeconomics of healthcare. But I just find it ironic that, by and large, we buy these commercials that were sold by the establishment in Washington, D.C. You know, people largely identify themselves as either Democrat or Republican. We are seeing a growing number of people who are denying one party or the other and claiming independent. But not all independents are truly independent. And I think, hell, it may have even been Chris Matthews, believe it or not, that had a good quip in interviewing someone and said, well, you're an independent, but you caucus with the Republicans. And the young lady said, well, that depends on what the issue is. So I thought that was interesting, but that's really the truth. As much as we don't want to identify with left-right paradigm, with conservative liberal politics, it's really ingrained in us from a very early age. And I try to catch myself, but I have a terrible, horrible habit of labeling people. And I think in part that stems from my early childhood. I had an uncle who was my namesake, Uncle Ron, and he had nicknames for everyone. And those nicknames would, kind of embody some trait or characteristic or personality quirk of that individual, and that's how you came by your nicknames. And that just kind of carried over to me naturally in life. And I've met a lot of people, and the ones that I care about the most, I tend to give nicknames to. It's just always been one of those things. But going back to our politicians, we just see this ridiculous kabuki theater. I don't know what else you could call it, where they simply trot out all this crap, and we believe it. We believe in it, and we end up taking sides, one side or the other. All the while, they're still fleecing your bank account and your wallet just as vigorously as ever. They're just trying to sell you on their version of why it should be done. And I just never have understood why people don't see that a little more clearly. And, yeah, you know, Linda, I can't wait to watch that. Miss Barnhart always gives me a little charge. I'll give her one thing. She's absolutely convicted in her belief. And she is a firebrand. I would not want to be married to that woman. She's a very lovely lady. She's quite attractive. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that'd be a bad day. Mr. Robert, I believe we have on the line. How are you, sir?
Your token Jewish Debbie.
Yes, I thought of you today. I read a of all things a pedophilia joke, and it was about a rabbi and a Catholic priest. A little boy walked by, and the priest said something very suggestive, and the rabbi says, "Out of what?"
Yeah, go figure. Don't get me started, Mr. Rod, on priests.
How are you doing, Mr. Robert? I forgot you went to a Catholic church. I'm sorry.
I went to a Catholic school, and I saw it all then. I believe you. I have heard the stigmatized about it. He did as a day.
Well, we don't want to dive too far off into the weeds. This can be an X-rated show pretty quickly if we go into the Catholic indiscretions.
Lord. I tell you, man, I'm watching all this stuff pan out. I don't even know where I am anymore. I've basically given up. I did one last straw, though, Ron. I call for a Supreme Court ruling over this. Why can't the Supreme Court do what they did when they okayed Obamacare? They should rule on this stuff, too.
Well, you know, I mean, let's be honest. It's truly, wholeheartedly, and completely dishonest. Both sides of the proverbial aisle are playing this stupid game, you know, that like, oh, this has never been done before. Oh, horse crap. Go read a little history. Read a little bit of, you know, the congressional record. My God, they you know, this has been going on forever. And like I said, the commercials are all the same.
Oh, yeah.
The tune, it's the same old tune. And, you know, if the roles were reversed, if this was George Bush in office, they wouldn't have wanted the Affordable Care Act. They would have fought it tooth and nail, and the shoe would be on the other foot. I mean, seriously, I don't know how anyone can even take this crap seriously anymore. My song, my intro song, where it's talking about what is done in the dark will be brought to light. I think, quite honestly, for all those folks, and I've said this a million times since I've been on the air, for all of those people that are upset that Barack Obama is president, I think he's done more to expose all the crap. Both, I mean, my God, look how many Republicans are being outed as just out and out the scumbag shills that we knew they were, like McConnell, like Boehner, like John McCain, like Lindsey Graham. You know, there may have been a sliver of doubt. Well, maybe I could be wrong, but they have gone and removed all doubt. So I think, you know, there's some good that will come from this eventually, but it's going to take us a while to get there. And, of course, when you look at the public venue, the sides that are the two that are going to get the most coverage are going to be the loudest, most vocal groups.
Oh, yeah.
Look, there's left-wing wing nuts, and there's right-wing wing nuts, and there's everything in between.
What you got to worry about now is McConnell and Reid, you know, becoming a marriage now. That's really scary. That's frightening. You know what? Now you got to wonder what kind of a deal they're gonna, what kind of a deal is really gonna be made out of this. You know,
I'm not worried about what kind of a deal is going to get made out of this. I'll tell you what. You want to know what the deal is going to be? The deal is going to be the American taxpayer needs to pull their pants down a little bit further, bend over just a little bit further, and say thank you. You know, it's not going to change. Honest to God, do you really believe? Think about what we're asking, okay? You have a corporation, a parent company called the United States that has all these subsidiary corporations like IBM and Solyndra and General Motors and Ford Motor Company and Chrysler and United and Delta and Bank of America and WAMU and Goldman Sachs, General Electric. They own them all, or they all own it, however you want to look at it. But it is a big incestuous relationship, and they have grown that relationship into an absolute art form of fleecing the average human being, whether it's in this country or halfway around the globe. They have truly created, they've raised it to the level of a craft. Okay? They are true craftsmen. And you have to admire, at the very least, the pure evil genius behind much of it. But it's little, but it's truly little more than, you know, just abject control freaks. It's disheartening at times.
It is disheartening. And then you got to have a president to weigh his opinion on whether or not the Redskins' name should be changed.
Well, you know, these are important, earth-shattering things that you know. Did you guys not see? I mean, you guys didn't see the Native American protests over all the professional sports teams' names? You didn't see that? I think they had like 3 million people in Washington. Oh, no, wait, they probably didn't because we've murdered most of them, and so there's probably not that many that actually still exist on the face of the earth. But, hey, you know, it was our manifest destiny and all that good stuff.
Well, what's the bet? Do we bet a Michael Beer on the default?
Well, you have to explain, but I would take that bet, but the first thing that we would need to do is define what you mean by default, because, you know,
my definition?
Right, I mean, yeah, I'd love to, because there seems to be so damned many different ones floating around that, you know, my goodness, if we cancel a government program, that's probably default.
I thought that default meant that we won't pay our bills for the first time in 220 years.
Well, Robert, that wouldn't be the first time. What happened in 1933?
We didn't pay our bills. We had the Great Depression.
Well, wait a minute. I thought you said the first time in 200 years. So, What happened in 1979? Oh, well, we won't count that one either. How about in 1971?
Well, let's see what happened in 1971.
Bretton Woods. Anybody remember that?
Say that again.
Bretton Woods Agreement.
I don't remember the Bretton Woods Agreement.
Okay, well, let me refresh your memory. After World War II, at the end of World War II, we came together with France, Spain, Germany, England, several other countries, and we all agreed that everyone was going to peg their currency to the dollar. And the dollar would be pegged to gold at $35 an ounce. So, any country that had dollars that they wanted to exchange, the exchange rate was $35 an ounce in gold. Well, wouldn't you know, along comes 1971, and that arrangement, well, that wasn't working out so well for us. Now, and I don't know why they would be so worried, because we had, what, 8,000 tons plus of gold that in the vaults, plus we had all the gold from the Nazis that we were storing for the Germans, and we're still storing it, by the way, allegedly. But we violated Bretton Woods. That was under good old, I'm not a crook, Tricky Dicky Nixon. And so what happened was the federal government pretty much gave the entire rest of the world the middle finger and said, no, we're no longer going to redeem dollars for gold, we'll give you more dollars. That, sir, is what I call a default, and an absolute 100% default. That's not none of this pussyfooting around the edges and what they're talking about right now. See, what they're truly worried about, I believe, is that the people will recognize, A, wow, this government shutdown is not quite as bad as we thought. In fact, 99.9% of the people aren't even affected by it, number one. Number two, people are going to start getting the idea that they can live without government. And gosh, if we can cut 17% of government with really this small of an impact, what would happen if we cut another 25%? And hasn't altered my life one iota.
It hasn't affected me as of yet. I hope it doesn't affect me. What about Obamacare? The whole thing's going to collapse by itself, Ron. It's inevitable. I believe it's going to collapse.
Well, you know, I don't know what the I really don't know what it's going to look like. And you know, we've talked about this before, but quite honestly, evidently they're having trouble hearing us in the chat room. I can hear you just fine, so I don't know if others are having trouble hearing you or hearing me or what the difficulty is. But you know, I'm just not sure how it's going to play out. I know China is getting pretty ticked, but then they've been pretty ticked, or allegedly ticked, for quite some time. They're talking right now as if, you know, this is some new revelation that, uh-oh, China's giving us a warning. We better get our act together. And Christine Lagarde from the IMF coming out, and they're worried about the whole world financial system. And the thing I would tell people, if you look at it, they're worried about the entire global financial system because of one country, us,
the
United States. Okay. Now, if we haven't done enough already as a country around the globe to alienate the other human beings that share this marble with us, we're about to. Okay? Because if you think people are pissed, if you think people want to jihad and kill Americans now, when, you know, a small percentage of the population of a few countries around the world blame their state of poverty on the imperial empire of the United States, oh, just wait until, say, I don't know, 38-40% of the global population is in poverty, and it's deemed because of the United States. Holy cow. That isn't going to be cool at all. I'm not sure I want to live to see that day.
That's the problem. What is that day going to hit? What is it going to hit like a ton of bricks?
Well, and I think it will, and I think it'll be, I think it's going to be, you know, pretty damned sudden, okay? I don't think that you're going to see, you know, everybody keeps talking about this soft landing. I think we're going through the undulations, the disconnect in the market happened quite some time ago. And so right now, all you're seeing is market manipulation. And if you, it's kind of late, I think, at this stage to try and get into understanding it all from a monetary aspect. But if I were going to tell someone this is what you need to look at, then I would say that you need to pay attention to the commodities markets. You need to pay attention to two things, gold and silver. And then you need to pay attention to another thing called the dollar index. And it ought to become fairly obvious. And then, you know, if you follow financial news and don't get your financial news from MSNBC or, you know, Market Watch or one of these idiots, but to go to somebody that's independent, that's been in the business a long time, and you're going to see the same picture painted on the wall that I see.
Oh, I got it. I mean,
Let's play a little game, Robert. Let's presume for a moment that you're China, okay? Now, we keep hearing this, and this isn't exactly, it's kind of an oversimplified version of the way things happen, but it, in the end, practical reality, it is the way it works. So I need you to buy from me my issuance, my currency, my certificates, my treasury notes, my promissory notes. Because, you see, if I buy all of my own promissory notes, well, it's just kind of obvious, right? So I'm relying on you and others to hopefully purchase some of my notes that I'm issuing, my promissory notes. But you're no dummy, Robert. You actually went through the fifth grade, and you know that 1 + 1 = 2. And you know that my treasury note isn't worth what its face value says it is. And you also know that I've been pretty reckless with my treasury notes. And so I've got a lot of them out there, and you're not certain that I'm going to be able to make good on it. So you're going to be less and less willing to risk your hard-earned capital, gold, silver, whatever it is, at face value in trade for face value of my notes. So I need to come up with a way to try and entice you to purchase more of my notes. One of the ways I can do that is I can offer you a discount. I can tell you, I'll tell you what I'll do, Robert, since you're such a good customer. I will sell you my notes at 70% of face value. Okay? And you'll say, well, you know, gee, that's tempting, but okay, I'll tell you what, Robert, if just for you, because you're such a great guy, how about 50%? And you say, well, 50%, hell, I got nothing to lose because what I'm paying for them in goods or products is worth more than the 50%, or worth less than the 50%. So that's a fair trade, and you take the trade. And pretty soon, you see that that treasury note, well, it's slipping below that 50% threshold. So what are you going to do? You're going to cash it in before it slips below 50%, which is your break-even point. Because if you slide below your break-even point, you're losing money, and you're not in this game to lose money. Besides, it's my paper, so, you know, you really don't, why would you care? And I tell you, instead of cashing in that note, I want you to buy some more. And here's what I'm going to do for you, Robert. I know you like to buy gold, don't you? Because I know you've bought, like, my goodness, last year you bought 1,200 tons of the stuff. So tell you what I'm going to do. On Monday, when the market opens, I'm going to give you a heads up right now, Robert. I'm going to sell you 500 billion of my treasury notes for half price. And on Monday morning at exactly 8:40, I'm going to drive the price of gold down. So you're going to get another discount is what I'm telling you, Robert. I know gold is going to open on the market at $1,300 an ounce, and by $850, I'm telling you, you should buy some because it's going to go down in value pretty quickly. So you just hide and watch. And that's really an oversimplified explanation of exactly what's happened. We've seen in the last few weeks literally hundreds of tons of gold dumped onto the market in mere minutes. I'm talking about in one trading session from 8:42 until 8:44, 62 tons of gold put into the market. I mean, you got to understand. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. You're getting what's called failed to delivers, okay? I talked about this quite some time ago. A fail to deliver is when I tell you that I'm going to sell you 100 ounces of gold, and I give you a paper slip, and you take it. Now, on the market, that counts as a trade, and the volume reflects it. In 30 days, when you're going to come to get your delivery, I don't have that gold, Robert. I never had that gold. I sold you a piece of paper, okay? So now you can't collect your gold, and what happens is you take cash instead. And it's in the contract that I don't actually have to give you the gold. I can just give you paper for the paper. And that's called a failure to deliver. Now, when you dump 62 tons worth of paper gold in the market and you don't have any, that doesn't really happen. What happens is that gold is taken out of the marketplace. You can rest assured of that, all 62 tons of it, because you're talking about large institutional buyers like China, and you don't tell them that they're not going to get their gold, they're going to get paper. Because wars have started over things like that. So they get their gold, which means it comes out of the vaults. And if you pay attention to the numbers, right now the top three bullion dealers in the United States are sitting on just about 18 tons of gold. Now that sounds like a lot, and it is a lot. But when you consider that just a few months ago, one single dealer had 14 tons of gold in their vault, all by their lonesome, just one.
Wow.
When you consider that in London, they had 1,300 tons of gold clear the market and disappear, evaporate, like into thin air. And there's only one place on the planet that we know that gold goes to disappear, and that's China, because they don't report. They're not playing the same game as everybody else. Everybody else is in this central system.
But China's trying to corner the market, don't you think?
China couldn't corner the market if they had to. Who has cornered the market is U.S. banks. Between J.P. Morgan Chase and Scotia, they possess 42% on paper of all the gold above ground. Or in the market, I should say, in the COMEX.
What did I hear in the news today? And correct me if I'm wrong. I heard something about Walmart.
Oh, my God, yeah. Walmart's
am
awesome.
Am I right?
You're right. And, you know, I'm gonna tell you something right now. There's two areas of blame in this story. The lion's share, of course, goes to those individuals who are out to get even more of something for nothing than they were already otherwise entitled to. And then second blame goes to Walmart.
Yeah.
You can't blame the government for that.
Evil.
Other than the fact that the program exists at all, for those of you that have been under a cabbage leaf all day and don't have any idea what Robert and I are vaguely discussing, is that over the weekend, the EBT system went down. And it seems that word got out at two particular Walmart stores in Louisiana that even though when you swiped your EBT card, they couldn't access the system, and therefore there was no way for the store to tell how much credit you had left on your EBT card, Walmart corporate said, go ahead and run the cards anyway. So what you had were EBT cardholders who had a dollar left on their card filling their shopping carts to overflowing with products and essentially stealing. I actually wrote or sent an email to Linda earlier today about that very thing, and I was just floored. Yeah, the one lady had 49 cents on her card, and she had $700 worth of products in her shopping cart. And, you know, I sent Linda a link to this article, and there was one thing that jumped out at me out of this entire article. It was probably a page and a half write-up, right? And they're talking about how it was pandemonium, and, you know, the place looked like it was hit by a flipping tornado. All the shelves were stripped bare in a matter of hours. They even called the police out, okay? That's not what surprised me. None of that surprises me in the least bit, not once, not even a little bit. What blew me away was the sheriff speaking with the reporter and said, you know, the sheriff said, and I'm going to paraphrase a quote here, it's not what you might think. We were called out to supervise, and contrary to rumors, there was no disorderly conduct. No one was arrested, and everyone behaved themselves. We're only here to make sure that there's no shoplifting or theft. And I thought, okay, if I'm the reporter, I would have said, well, excuse me, Sheriff, but what the hell do you call taking home a carload full of groceries using a credit card that you know is no good? Because where I come from, that's called stealing. You could call it shoplifting, but it's a little more brazen than that, I believe. Shoplifting, you're at least trying to conceal the fact that you're stealing. In this instance, they're by God, the whole frickin' store, I'm sure they had to call in every cashier in the company just to run the damn cash registers. I mean, you know. Well, but it is stealing, but the store is foolish for having done it. And the lady with the 49 cents left on her card, that is the perfect example. And Cal, you're correct. The Walmart said that they would not prosecute her if she left the $700 cart full of groceries at the store. Now, if she took it home, they would prosecute her. Well, now, wait a minute. They gave them the okay. This is, yeah, I mean, hell, it's aggressivism at its best. So, yeah, okay. Exactly, Lonnie. Corporation's going to let her go without food. It's just corporate greed is all it is.
Oh.
Oh, my God. You can't make this stuff up. These people.
No.
I mean, yeah, seriously.
But what I don't understand, Ron, is they going to say, Walmart says you buy everything that's made in America. Well, there's a problem with that because everything in Walmart is made in China. How are you going to do that?
What have I told you guys before, Robert? You know the deal. You know the drill. If it weren't for China, everybody likes to demonize China. Everybody likes to demonize Walmart. Look, if it weren't for China and Walmart, the American people would fully understand what inflation is all about. They really would. They truly would.
It's totally amazing, man. This, I can't believe this is really happening. And, I mean, really, I can't believe this is. We're going down. We're just basically going down.
Well,
we're going down. That's you know. I've been saying this for how long now?
It's not that. It's not that we're going down. We're allowing ourselves to be taken down. And everyone's asking that you please speak up because they're having a hard time hearing you.
I'm sorry. Can you guys hear me now?
That's got to be better.
Wow. I'm inside now. I was outside having a cancer stick.
Uh-oh. Well, at least you weren't, you know, skydiving with your dog or anything crazy.
My dog. I have a great dog. But, you know,
Bill's right. This is why we've been hollering at folks to, you know, get yourself prepared. And, you know, this look, there are crooks, thieves, and liars all throughout life because they're human beings. We already have established that, you know, humans have a sin nature. There's a lot of folks out there that don't want to believe that. They want to look the other way. They don't think God exists, whatever. Hey, you know, you can deny reality all day long, but it's staring you right in the face, folks. You know, so you better get used to it. I've been talking to people about this for a very long time. And, you know, I take no solace in the fact that I'm no longer the crazy guy. I mean that. I'm not overjoyed that finally I'm proven right and I'm no longer crazy. No,
yeah, but
I'm still
Ron. I'm still the crazy guy.
Look, I would rather be crazy and reality not be what it is. But that's, I mean, you know, this is the reality that has been created for us. It's what we live in, and we have allowed it to continue. You know, I read a couple of great articles. Anybody that's not over on that website, I would encourage every one of you to go and get Op-Ed News, okay? It's a progressive liberal website, and they have all kinds of different write-ups. Tea Party terrorists, that's me, you know? But it's always good to get the opposing view, what the others out there think of you. And I got to say, part of it is factually correct. And the longer, yes, Op-Ed News, that is correct. And the longer this goes on, the more accurate I think some of that stuff is. Not that I think they're correct in their ideology, but, you know, when I read an article about the Tea Party terrorists and they start talking about, you know, that we want to destroy the government and do the we want to take it to a different form of government. You know what? Speaking for myself personally, that article is correct, because what currently passes as government is not anything close to what was initially laid out. And I believe we've got Miss Linda on the line with us. Miss Linda, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Hi, Robert. Hi, Ron.
Hey, Ms.
Everyone
Linda.
In the chat room. So, yeah, pretty nice day, a little fall weather here. Blue skies, a little chilly, but sunny. We talk about getting rid of the government that we have right now. Yeah, because this is not a constitutional republic. I mean, even Mark Levin said that at the Value Voter Summit deal, or wherever they were in Washington.
Don't get me started on Mr. Levin, because he said something tonight, and I wanted to call him up and tell him he's a moron.
What did he say? Because I don't get him to
Well, here's the thing, okay? So, constitutional republic. Now, Levin, we can all agree, I think, that the government hasn't been truly following the Constitution for a very long time.
Right.
So, recognizing that the Constitution, as it stands today, poses no true obstacle to government whatsoever.
Not to these
Levin goes into this tirade about the fact that the government cannot default because the Constitution forbids it. And I thought, when in the hell have they allowed the Constitution to act as anything more than a friggin' speed bump on the road to disaster?
Right.
And so, to me, that's talking out of both sides of your mouth. It's like saying, you know, that, of course, no, there can't be any murder because it's against the law.
Yeah, I think Beck did that on his show earlier today, too, put the article it was, regarding the default stuff. The whole thing is just, it is theater. I mean, like, when I first got on the Facebook
both
today.
Both sides are selling you on a default.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and the media, those people are so stupid. I don't know how they tie their own shoes, but it's unbelievable, because they just parrot whatever, you know, someone up above says to them, or who they've heard, like Chris Matthews or somebody idiotic from CMS LSD. Unbelievable.
Before I let you get wound up, I want you to consider something, okay? Let's play a little hypothetical. Let's suppose that you work for an agency in Washington, D.C. Let's say Homeland Security, TSA, Department of DHS, something like that, okay? Let's say that you want to have a whole bunch of signs made, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you go through the chain of command at your department to get these signs made. How long do you think it would take to get a couple hundred signs made going through the bureaucratic chain of command?
A couple of weeks, maybe a month, a year,
6 weeks? Okay. Did you notice that during this quote-unquote shutdown, they immediately...
Oh, that's right. They rolled
them out. Barricades up with signs out, right? These signs are printed due to the government shutdown with the logo and everything else. Now, you explain to me, I mean, did they just run down to the local flipping Kinko's and have a few hundred of those peeled off? Because I'm thinking,
no.
You know, my experience with government is it does not work that smoothly. So that ought to tell you something, shouldn't it? That these signs were made before the shutdown occurred, right? Which means what?
Yep. It was planned.
Just saying, guys. Just saying.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, when I was first going on to Facebook and I was typing in the chat area there with Bill, I just, I said, hi, Bill. And then I said, just another day of tyranny. You know, it's like, oh, God, I woke up and, you know, wham, 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 I get hit from all sides. It's crazy. I you know, not just the emails, but the financial situation, the stuff I dealt with on the weekend, the, you know, it's amazing to me. I mean, it's at the local level, it's at the state level, the stuff that Jerry Brown's doing, oh, my gosh. He's getting lawsuits left and right, believe me, because of what he's done just in the past 6 months.
Did anybody hear Savage and Alex Jones and now Glenn Beck all reporting on the same story about the firing of a top Air Force general who happened to be in control of all the nukes in the United States? And Lindsey Graham's little veiled threat about if we don't go to war in Syria, there is going to be a nuclear bomb in South Carolina. You know, guys, there was something going on there that that we dodged, maybe. I don't know. But it certainly looks suspect. And to me, you go all the way back to, God, what was it, 2007 when the six nukes came up missing from Minot up in North Dakota.
God.
And there is no doubt, I have no doubt whatsoever, that those were going to be given to someone. Someone not in this country.
Wow.
Given, and when I say given, I mean through something like a Benghazi gunwalker type of deal.
Right.
And interestingly enough, and if you go back and do a little research on that, you know, nukes missing from Minot, you go through, and unless I miss my mark, and I could be wrong because I don't follow every rabbit trail, but
right.
It seems to me that all the people that were involved with the transfer and loading of those weapons are dead.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they
purpose,
said, oh, well, it was a mistake. And, yeah, okay, you do not mistakenly load live nuclear weapons onto a freaking B-52 bomber. That does not happen. I'm sorry. It's not a clerical error. It's not a single mistake by a single person. Ain't happening. There is such a chain of command on those things like you wouldn't believe. There are several stages it has to go through.
So,
I don't know. I don't like what
I know,
I'm thinking as far as...
Yeah, and well, I'm just wondering, you know, when you've got Graham Cracker, that stupid traitor, speaking like he does on Syria, and you see the connecting of the dots here, and there's missing nukes, and they're saying that somewhere out of Texas they were shipping them to South Carolina, and that, you know, they want to go to war because that's what they want to do, probably because the Illuminati wants to put a central bank in the damn country. You never know what's going to happen. Who's going to use these things against whom? And when is the next false flag? Because there's also rumblings about dry runs on the airplanes again, and the pilots' unions get totally pissed off because nobody, you know, doing anything about it. I think that the pilots just ought to strike, say, we're done. You know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, look, airline travel in the United States, it's nationalized.
I know, it's evil.
Why is it nobody notices that? Why is nobody,
they
nobody
don't scream
complains
about, it.
About that or talks about that? We've nationalized our travel.
Oh, I know. And,
you
and
cannot
that's
leave
all by
this
design.
Country without permission.
It's sickening.
Unless you sneak out. Good luck with that, because where are you going to sneak out to? Canada, they'll ship your ass right back here. Mexico, yeah. I don't think I want to try that one.
So even on a private jet, you can't bail?
You could probably get away with it. But, yeah, It'd be a lot easier on a private water vessel, but even then, you know, you got
Coast Guard. Got Nazis everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's the Gestapo.
They're everywhere.
It's horrible. Yeah, I like I said, I don't know what that.
But remember,
see, with the airlines, that's why it was probably so simple for them to install all those stupid scanners and everything else, because this nationalization of the airlines has been going on longer, probably longer than Barry's been around and not wet behind the ears. So, I mean, they've been doing this socializing everything and nationalizing for a long, long time.
And just remember, it wasn't all that long ago that we had all the Americans out there waving their flag to build a fence. Fence us in, please.
Oh,
fence us in, yeah. Please fence us
in.
Make it more hard for us to escape this, would you please? Yeah, because we're Americans and they're not, see? And we're the only ones that are born equal. I mean, honest to God, guys, at some point we've got to start recognizing the hypocrisy. Okay?
That's true.
And I've said before, you read that Declaration of Independence, and I didn't see in there where it said all men born in the United States of America are created equal. No, it says all men are created equal. Okay? Now, I recognize we can be pragmatic and say, yes, we should have laws, and there are good reasons to have laws. I'm not against law, okay, per se. But we go about blaming and villainizing the very people who are coming here. Many of them, at one point, were coming here because of their family, because they wanted a better life. Unfortunately, we have allowed our government to turn a blind eye to the law, number one, and number two, create all of these programs to entice people. And inevitably, with the good, you also get the riffraff, you know. The crooks, the liars, and the cheats will soon follow. Because wherever there's money to be made, you're going to have the hucksters, the hustlers, trying to make an easy buck where they don't have to work for it. You just stick a gun in somebody's face and take it. Now, granted, that's truly the government's job. But, hey, you know, there's a lot of competition out there.
They do it so well, the rotters. Yeah, I mean, this whole thing, everybody was upset about the barricades, which I totally understand. I mean, maybe it was just the tipping point, you know? Maybe that was just the last straw, so to speak, and people are not going to take it anymore. I mean, I don't really care what wakes them up and gets them angry and wanting to do something.
Linda, he doesn't want to fund the veterans. He doesn't want to fund the veterans.
Well, he wants to collapse. Look, he's Cloward and Piven from the get-go. I don't know what's going on with the Republican Party. I think
they're lost.
Somebody's lifted the veil a little bit.
Right.
I think, you know, somebody's realized the emperor has no clothes and the Republicans aren't wearing panties. I mean, you know.
They're not. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
you know,
they're all nude, and it's horrible thought. But, I mean,
it's true. I truly believe, and I've said it before, and I will continue until I see reason to believe otherwise, I truly believe that the government, when I say the government, I don't mean Barack Obama. I mean the government. All of it, you know, the control mechanism, they need the people to revolt. And they don't give a damn if it's the people that identify with the left side or the people that identify with the right side.
Oh, no.
Look, they pushed it very hard when they had the Occupy movement and, you know, all the very same thing. It was a role reversal. You go back to that Occupy movement, and while I believe they were in part misguided, their anger was misguided. But all the same things that are being said right now about the Tea Party and the right wing, with regards to the Republicans and this government shutdown that isn't really a government shutdown.
Right.
All the negative things that are being said right now by the quote unquote liberal media are much the same as what was being said by the right wing media, conservative media, during the Occupy movement.
Sure.
I mean, go back and read it. Go back and read what was being said. They do not give a damn. And actually, I think the ideal situation is that the conservative side and those that identify with the liberal side end up in a conflict between themselves, and it turns into chaos, pandemonium. I really believe that's truly what they're after.
Ron?
Yes, Robert.
This is my take on the whole thing. My take is, I just think that the Congress should just give Obama what he wants. Forget about health care. Don't mention a damn word about it anymore. Give him the debt ceiling. Call it a day, and don't negotiate with them anymore after that. Just let them do what the hell they want for the next 4 years. Don't say a word. Republicans should not even say a word no more after they give them the debt ceiling. That's how
you got a snowball's chance in Hades that ever happened, Robert. You know that. So do they.
That's how I feel about it.
I think you're seeing a couple of dry runs going here. I think you're seeing some dry runs going here with the little glitch, the hiccup in the EBT system.
Oh yeah,
that was one of my first thoughts too. Okay, and also in the with the protests and stuff going on in D.C. and the riot police coming out and then seemingly capitulating and walking off. I'm telling you,
yep.
They want a confrontation. I've seen it. I've seen how it's been orchestrated. I saw it not firsthand, but I saw firsthand video accounts of it in Venezuela. I've read about firsthand accounts of it in Iran back in 1953.
Sure.
Okay?
If we had the numbers of the Egyptian uprising, you think they'd still be out there with their little stupid helmets?
Yeah.
Oh, they'd clamp down so hard you wouldn't.
I'm talking 20 million.
I guarantee you they'd be out there with their little helmets and a lot more.
Wow.
You got to understand, In Egypt, they didn't deploy any kind of new technology at all as far as crowd control. They just let it go. Mm-hmm. And you've got to understand something. If you go back and read, the history of Egypt in that area, look, your government, our government, my government has been fomenting this very kind of thing around the world for a very long time.
Sure.
They were playing one end against the other in the Middle East since before 1948. The British were brilliant at it, or they thought they were at least. But my God, we did it in Egypt more than once. We did it in Syria. We did it in Libya. We did it in Lebanon. We did it in Iraq. We did it in Iran. We messed around in Afghanistan. More time and time again, you go back to the late 40s, early 50s, the United States government was actually siding with Mossadegh in Iran until he nationalized the oil fields. And even then we were okay because we were working on a deal with Mossadegh to allow American oil companies into Iran. Now, remember that red line agreement? That I told you about, okay? And that's why Obama's terminology of red line stood out to me. But under the red line agreement, Iran belonged to the Brits. Well, now that Mossadegh nationalizes their oil fields and we've got a deal in the pipeline with Mossadegh to allow U.S. companies in for the oil, we're friendly with Mossadegh. And the British were fuming, man. They were pissed. And then Mossadegh told us, nope, sorry, no dice for you. Well, then suddenly we don't like Mossadegh, and we team up with MI6 and our CIA to overthrow Mossadegh and install the Shah, who the Shah, by the way, was ruler before Mossadegh. So this is all just a turnaround game. All the while, our government is terrified, worried, that the Muslims are going to go commie. But they were too damn stupid to recognize that the Muslims despised communism, and communism would never work in the Islamist countries because the communists were largely atheists. And they would have none of that. They would have none of that.
So
we fomented all this.
So now, whenever this collapse comes or whatever they're going to do to try to do their little martial law thing, how the hell are we supposed to fight them? I mean,
well, how do you eat an elephant?
We still outnumber them.
One bite at a time, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, look, you got to take examples from those that have been effective in fighting this beast.
Okay.
And look at who has been effective. I mean, look back to Vietnam. Look back to Afghanistan, Iraq. It's the little guerrilla tactics that work. You're talking about they're trying to use a sledgehammer to swat a fly.
Right.
And that doesn't work. But and honestly, do you truly believe in your heart that you're going to get 30 million Americans to unite together on much of anything? I mean, honestly, at this stage of the game, look around. Really? Now, maybe if they're dying of thirst and they're starving, you might have something there. But first, you're going to have to keep that SOB, your neighbor, from stealing your food.
Right. I know. I mean, I don't know
I personally think that you don't have to. I've said this before. It doesn't require you to pick up a single weapon. Not a shot needs to be fired. All you got to do is sit down and say no.
Right.
No.
Well,
I'm not going to do it.
I mean, if they're coming in,
what are you going to do? Kill me?
Huh?
Go for it. What are you going to do? Kill me? Go for it.
So when they start knocking on the doors, Ron, and when you don't sign up for Obamacare and you don't have Obamacare, and the IRS is going to be knocking at your doors, and they're going to say, where's your fine? Are you going to give it to them or not give it to them?
Oh, they'll just take it out of your bank account.
Yeah, you're not going to have. I was going to say, are you crazy? Robert, see, I've been trying to tell you guys for so long. You don't own anything.
That's right.
You don't own it. It doesn't belong to you.
I know. My house doesn't belong to me either.
None of it does. The dirt, the house. What, are you going to fight for something that's not yours? I mean, honestly, I don't mind fighting. If you want to take my life, then you're going to have a fight on your hands, okay? And honestly, if you want to take my life, I may not even put up much of a fight. Now, if you want to go after my wife, my children, my grandchildren, you're going to have a hell of a fight on your hands. But we have to at least recognize, okay, that these strips of paper and all this garbage, it's just that, it's garbage. And I can live without it. Quite honestly, I can live without 99% of it. I can't live without food and water. Okay, shelter would be nice, but, you know, our country's big enough that you can get a climate where it's not 100% necessary to have airtight, you know, waterproof shelter. We can get by without it. There's a lot of things we can live without. I can certainly live without this government, but I'm not going to outlive the current goings on by being a fool or a martyr or you know, running out on a fool's errand and fall on my sword. That's just not who I am. I know when it's time to stand and fight. And I know when it's time to sit back and observe and watch. And I'm not just going to run out headlong like a fool into some preconceived trap. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Basically, Rob, right now we're observing and watching now, don't you think? I mean,
sure.
Just say.
Well, and I think you're going to see that for a long time. And I still believe that, you know, one of two things is going to happen. They'll be successful, or it's going to fall apart petal by petal, like a flower going bad, and things are going to drop off. And the first thing that's going to drop off, states are going to start falling away, and the federal government's going to find more and more resistance to providing it with anything, and it will just die.
Sure.
A natural death.
Yeah. You know, Ron, I was watching C-SPAN. I was watching C-SPAN, and nothing, the same old. It's just, I get tired of listening to it.
Look, Robert, what these people do in front of those cameras, they're play acting.
Yep.
And as far as trying to convince everyone in the room and everyone who's actually watching on TV, whether it's Fox, C-SPAN, it doesn't matter, as long as there's a camera there, they do deserve some Academy Awards for these acting jobs. But I would like to take that statue and put it in a place where it will do the most good for all of them. I'm sick of it. But no, that's what they're doing, Robert. They have been lying to us for how many centuries now? I mean, let's get real. It's true.
Well, you know, I think if you look at the fall of the Soviet Union, okay, and the breakup, they broke up into smaller, you know, I think that's the next logical step.
So you think there'll be secessions? Real secessions?
In a matter of speaking, yeah, I think so, in a manner of speaking, but I don't think it'll be what, you know, everyone might envision. But I honestly think that, you know, if you're looking at truly a monetary collapse, I don't think you're going to have large nation state government is not going to survive that, whether it's China or anybody else.
Yeah.
Now, China,
right.
You know, they kind of rule with an iron fist, but, you know, people are getting a taste of some semblance of capitalism and, and you know, some kind of free market over there. And I think a lot of them are going to be very reluctant to give that up. And there's so much information that's available today, no matter how much the government tries to squelch it.
I think
just going to become more and more difficult for this kind of autocratic nation state, you know, fascistic corporatism, whatever you want to call it. It's just going to get more and more difficult to continue perpetrating it.
Right. Many things are going to start falling apart, like you said, because it can't sustain itself. There's nothing. It's just illogical to even think. And what about, I think it was, you'll see the video later, but Barnhart's theory that if the collapse is going to happen, that the warning signs would be European bank confiscations of wealth, of depositors, et cetera, and then our nation would follow that.
Shit, we've already got that. I mean, look at Greece.
Oh,
right?
No, and Cyprus. Oh, I know. I mean,
But I'm telling you, it's going to go further than that. And if you look at the thing, if you look at it pragmatically, okay, honestly look at what it is they're trying to do. What is the one thing? What is the one thing that in all of these countries and in the United States of America, what's the one thing they're using constantly using and abusing to control everyone? It's what I've been telling you from the beginning. It's the monetary system. And as long as every person within the sound of my voice believes that they must have those little strips of paper or those little plastic cards with a magnetic stripe on the back in order to eat, in order to provide shelter for their family. As long as they believe that,
yep,
they got you. They got you right where they want you.
I know.
Under control. The moment people begin to realize that we can trade amongst ourselves, we've got technology right here at our fingertips electronically,
sure,
that doesn't require us to have any physical commodity representing our money, our trade,
mm-hmm,
our barter chips, right? I mean, there are ways around this, folks, and the American people and people everywhere in the world will figure that out eventually, slowly but surely. And at some point, it's going to get so prevalent that government cannot control it. Doc put up Bitcoin. Bitcoin was a bit of a thorn in the government's side. They've more or less neutered Bitcoin at this point. The problem with Bitcoin is it relies on credit card processors to do the transfer or the conversion, because at one point in time or another with the Bitcoin, people always want to have that convertibility of converting that Bitcoin back into dollars. That's the downfall. That is the downfall right there. As long as it stays Bitcoin and nothing else, there would be no problem. But the only reason that many of these merchants signed on to Bitcoin is because they saw there was convertibility there. They could convert right back to U.S. dollars. That is the Achilles heel of Bitcoin.
Right. So
you
got to
get people out of that mentality.
That mindset.
That dollar bill mentality, yes.
Right. So let's say that the dollar didn't exist anymore, or at least we didn't want to use it anymore as people, you know, free voluntary association. And I had a bunch of silver and a couple gold coins or whatever. And I traded one of my silver coins for X amount of commodities, such as food and maybe some water. And then if I did that enough, and then I wanted to convert what I had hoarded a little bit back to silver, that would be my choice of dealing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, there's no reporting system. And see, sooner or later, that's another thing. Sooner or later, some of these companies are going to begin to realize that it's not in their best interest to report all of this crap to the government, right? I mean,
you're
telling on yourself for doing business, and you're implicating others. You're nothing more than a damn government informant. And by the way, you don't get compensated for it. You get hosed for it.
Oh, yeah.
And God forbid
you
don't report what they think you should, then we're
going to
haul you into court and you're going to go to jail. Well, you know what?
Exactly.
Just put me in jail now and let's forego all the dance, you know?
I know. It's horrible. I get it. It's extortion is what they're doing. I mean,
and
it's
right
pure
now,
incredible.
Right now in this country, there are states and cities and counties you can go to and do exactly what you were talking about with gold and silver, because they've recognized that. There's places in Michigan. You can go to Utah. We've tried like hell here in Georgia. And I've asked legislators, how do you continue to violate the Constitution when it clearly says no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin legal tender in the payment of any debts, including taxes, ladies and gentlemen. And yet they continue to accept paper instead, and that's a violation of the Constitution. I didn't write it. They, you know.
Yeah. I'm surprised that our semblance of, the rule of law has lasted this long, Ron, I tell you. It's amazing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's because of our DNA from the founding, you know. And it's not just the flag waving and the little cute songs and, you know, even the Star Spangled Banner. But, I mean, that could play a part in it as a child growing up, and you hear all these things and you see, you know, the pomp and ceremony, which I think a lot of it's propaganda as well. But that whole spirit, that ingenuity, that entrepreneurship, that inventiveness, that, you know, we did have more freedom than, say, people in North Korea. So at least, you know what I'm saying? At least there's that feeling of it, even if it's mostly an illusion. So I think that we've inherited that from those times before the corporatocracy took over. And I think that's why we've lasted.
I think there is there was an independent spirit in this country, and I think some of that still exists to some extent.
Right.
But I also think that many of these programs, and I know, you know, the leftists will just roll in their graves to hear me say it, but I honestly believe that many of these programs expanded to the extent that they have diminished that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh,
absolutely. They diminished that independent spirit, that independent streak, because they've promoted dependency, not independence.
Right, and that's really sad because when this thing breaks down and there ain't going to be no more handouts, then what are those poor people going to do? I mean, they'll either figure it out because it will be survival of the fittest at that point.
Well, they've already shown what they'll do, at least some of them. They'll rush to the store, steal as much as they can get their hands on, and then, you know, when that runs out, well, then you'll go looking for more places to steal more. That's where the real trouble's going to start.
I know. It's called that thin veneer of civility that goes away in an instant, and then the dirty underbelly is quite seen for what it is. And that's not going to be pretty. I know that's why everyone's doing what they're doing. I mean, they're pushing Kevlar vests and ceramic plates, and oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
And we hear, that's another thing that I haven't heard, you know, we hear these folks talking about, you know, Homeland Security has purchased 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition and 2,700 MRAPs and all this. Where'd they get the money? Oh, that's right. That's right. The House of Representatives appropriated that money to the executive branch, didn't they? Come on.
I know, it's evil. It is not good. I know you're going to wrap up in a minute, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just think it's sad that, you know, there's a lot of things, believe it or not, that we agree on between the left and right sides of the proverbial aisle, if you will. We're not going to agree on everything. You know, hell, I don't agree with everything with anyone I've met yet.
Sure.
I agree with, you know, probably 50% of what my wife says, and that's like a huge number for me.
You're so incorrigible.
You know, maybe 51%. But, I mean, honest to goodness, how boring would it be?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, honestly, how boring would life be if we all agreed on everything? But I think that the disagreement, in large part, really comes down to a matter of understanding the words. And that's really part and parcel why I put that blog up at Patriot Families, talking about the wording of the Constitution and legalese. And when we transform words, you know, that's what a lawyer does, or an attorney. An attorney or a lawyer, they're wordsmiths. And, you know, they're so good at their craft.
Oh, they are.
That quite often they can actually begin to make you doubt your position. You might start to question or second guess yourself.
Sure.
I didn't know it meant that. And you begin to examine it. And I think that's really the conversation that needs to happen amongst Americans, you know, everyday Americans that disagree vehemently on these various
certain
programs
things,
and ideas, and just what it is the impact of government on our everyday lives.
Sure.
And isn't it funny that when it actually directly impacts someone, they have a different mindset. They're like, well, gee, I didn't know I was going to be the one paying for it personally.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things that, you know, get under one skin, and mine in particular, and I think Bill and I had this conversation last week on the chat room in Patriot Families, and there was a certain person, as will go nameless today, that was getting under my skin, and I said, Bill, most communists do, you know, because that's where my line in the sand is. I think that anyone who wants to do that type of totalitarian oppression on a human being, you know, for their ideology of, you know, being Stalin or Pol Pot or whoever, I'm sorry. I will be vehement against that. Ain't happening.
And I understand that, and I'm pretty sure I know that you're talking about Beasley. And, you know, I had a very long conversation with him on the telephone. And quite honestly, the thing is that I think this may be an instance where we simply are not communicating. We're all speaking English. However, we're coming from two different viewpoints or starting points or standing
mm-hmm.
points. I don't think we're as far apart as the rhetoric would indicate. And I think if everyone would pull back a little bit
and let's
try to talk it out rather than being reactionary. And
sure.
I know he said that he wasn't and that, it, you know, they did it first, whatever. And I said, but that doesn't, you know, that doesn't matter. because if we're
what are
truly
we in third
not,
grade?
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, he started it, he pushed me first, whatever. I mean, we've got to rise above that if we're ever
sure.
going to work out our differences and come to understand one another. If that truly is our goal, is to understand one another and not just be part of the winning team, one side or the
Absolutely.
Other, then I think we have to, you know, kind of pull back and say, okay, well, I don't understand. Explain it to me. Explain, you
sure.
know.
How this works. Right.
Right. That's how we have conversation, and I think we can resolve a lot of that.
Absolutely.
You know, he and I had the conversation about Social Security. I'm sorry. It's not that I think that, you know, Social Security in and of itself is a bad thing. I think it's a horrible thing that should never have been started. And it's not the idea, okay? It's not the relief that was wanted to be
right.
given through Social Security.
Right.
It's what
it's the
developed
end result.
Into. Right. It's
mm-hmm.
what it has developed into where you have, and I don't know anybody that would stand in front of a group of 1,000 seniors and extol the virtues of how great it is that they're all stuck living on a
sure.
poverty level subsistence. Okay. Yes, there are those seniors that, in addition to Social Security, they put money away and they actually
mm-hmm.
have retirement. So they're not just solely dependent on that Social Security
exactly.
check every month to get them through. But the ones that are just wholly screwed and they know it.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And,
that's me,
you know,
and my
I
mom.
Don't see, I don't see that as being a positive thing.
It's not.
And
it
I, and
never
I see
was.
It as something that we could that could have been avoided. You know, it's that old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I don't believe
that
Social Security was created as a means to, you know, enslave a whole generation or generationally enslave elderly. I don't believe that. I believe that, you know, it was a way out at the moment. It was expeditious. It was a way they saw clear to do something, but it was dead wrong. And look at what it turned into.
Right. And also when you look at the wordage of it, social, you know, comes from, can be, you know, construed with the socialism because, and when Mandel House was whispering this stuff, this was before FDR in Woodrow Wilson's ear, he said, social insurance, and then we've got them. I mean, this is how evil they are. So some people back then were plotting to be nefarious. So, and you know, I know your
sure.
feelings on Mandel House, so, but
yeah.
I'm going to let
you
wrap it up. And
absolutely. And God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Robert, I want to
thank you
for calling in. And thank everybody in the chat room, Doc, FT, Linda, Lonnie, Yola, Bill, well, Nick, sorry. But, yeah, you know, the thing is it's easy to get caught into that stuff, and I'm not taken in by anybody, and I know when someone's being a wise ass. But, you know, at the same time, I do think that we need to try to have some conversation and not be so reactionary. So anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys tomorrow night on the Hoot and Holler Show with Bill and Chad and the boys. until then, God bless. Keep the shiny side up. Be good.
Be good.
Bye-bye.